Hey guys, and welcome back to the Beyond the Skill podcast. You're sitting here with Corey. I hope everyone is well and had a lovely bank holiday weekend. I tried to go up to Glencoe for the night of camping, wild camping that is. It didn't go to plan. It doesn't look like the pictures in the height of midgey season. I should have checked the midgey forecast. It was a 5. It felt a 5. That was a lesson learned, let's put it that way. But hope everyone had a good weekend, massive weekend of fights. Some people might have stayed up to watch the Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley fight. I caught some of it today, and it was what it was. It was okay. Jake Paul's not actually a bad boxer, but he trains at this full time. He's got world-class coaches, so it's unsurprising. I can't agree with anybody that says Tyron Woodley took the loss. He got paid off, he took a dive. Someone said he lost so he would get a definite rematch, but that doesn't make any sense, because if he beat Jake Paul, surely Jake Paul would want a rematch. So I don't agree with that notion, but hey-ho. So just looking up the UFC card, I jump on it a little bit later. I jump on it, the Dustin Jacoby versus Darren Stewart. These guys came out swinging. Darren Stewart was fighting it. Darren Stewart was fine at light heavyweight. He looked pretty thick. I don't think he looked bad at that weight at all, actually. Just staring at his record just now, though, in 12-8, it doesn't make for good reading. He's a kind of kill or be killed guy. I enjoy watching him, to be honest. I didn't realise that Dustin Jacoby had such a background in kickboxing and actually looked really comfortable on the feet. You kind of sensed the game plan from Darren Stewart from the beginning when he tried to take him down and wrestle, and that's not really Darren Stewart's world. So I'm not sure where Darren Stewart goes from here, to be honest. He's lost his last few. If you remember correctly, he lost to Eric Anders, he lost Kevin Holland, and before that he beat Maki Pitolo. So his record is starting to look very journeyman-like, win-loss. So be interested to see if he gets, or how many more fights he gets in the UFC. Dustin Jacoby looked good, though. Jacoby, at 205. Tall guy, 6'3", big frame. And he's one of few now. I've kind of watched him a few times in the UFC. He's beat Maxim Grisham, Justin Ledet, Ty Flores, Darren Stewart. His record's starting to look pretty good. Good win from Dustin Jacoby. And next in the card, we had Wellington Turman versus Sam Alvey. Sam Alvey, who's lost his last 6 fights, including this one, fell to 33-16. Turman finally got a victory. Not the best fight ever. Quite controversial. There was 2 eye pokes. Well, there's more than 2. There was 2 that he got penalised from. And lost 2 points in the last round, which was a split decision on the card. I don't really know why Sam Alvey was feeling aggrieved at losing the fight. He lost 3 rounds to none, pretty clearly from what I could see, and I'm no judge or expert, so you could see his frustration on his face after. What you could also see on his face was a massive cut, laceration that kind of annoyed him. It was due to a spinning back elbow, somewhere in the kind of first round, I think, sliced him open pretty bad, and that was kind of seeping and distracting him for most of the fight. Wellington Turman, he looked pretty good, looked pretty comfortable standing up, looked pretty comfortable on the ground. He's now 2-3 in the UFC with losses to Carl Robertson, Andrew Sanchez, and Bruno Silva. But let's see where he goes from here. After that fight, you had Abdul Razak Al-Hassan versus Alessio Di Chirico at 185. 17 seconds is all the fight lasted. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan got a massive head kick knockout, similar to what Di Chirico did to Joaquin Buckley, if I remember correctly. Al-Hassan was on a bit of a skid prior to the fight, so good to see him get a victory. He lost his last three to Jacob Malkoon, Chaos Williams, and Munir Lazez. So he's been fighting high-level guys before that. But he looked really thick as well. I think he'd went up in weight from welterweight to middleweight. He's a tank. He's 5'10". He's as wide as a fucking house. So yeah, good victory for him. You can see how much it meant to him. And capped off a nice little backflip at the end, which is crazy to see from such a thick physique. After that, you had Mahmoud Muradov versus Gerald Meerschaert. I'll be honest, last week when I broke in the car, I was quite naive on how good Muradov, or Muradov, however you want to say it, is. He was on a 14-fight winning streak, and I thought he was a wrestler, but if anything, he was opposite. He was a stand-up striker, quick, clinical, looked really, really good, and had GM3 hurt on quite a few occasions, but GM3 being the journeyman and the veteran that he is, managed to come back. He took some massive shots, but came back and took Muradov's back and choked him out. Good win, proving the haters wrong after he got put out one shot in the first round by Khamzat Chimaev. So good to see GM3 get another win under his belt. Again, you need guys like this on the cards. They take fights. They'll fight anywhere, anyone, any place, anytime. And they'll fight the up-and-comers like Muradov, like Chimaev. So good to see GM3 get a win under his belt. After that, we had Andrei Petrovsky versus Michael Gilmore. Both of these guys I watched on the Ultimate Fighter fight at middleweight. Andrei Petrovsky looked pretty comfortable in this one. He managed to go over the adversity of going past that 6-minute mark in terms of stamina and output, which you think he struggled with, like a mental block beforehand. But he is quite heavily muscled, so I can see why. He fought against Michael Gilmore, who fell to 6-4. Who didn't look great, to be honest. It looked like he was easing his way to a comfortable victory, but he actually managed to knock him out via ground and pound in the last match. So, nice win for Andrei Petrovsky, and look forward to seeing him going forward in the UFC. After that, you had your man, D-Rod, who just looks like a G. Pretty cool tattoos, looks a bit of a gangster, has Los Angeles tattooed over the middle of his chest. He took this fight on short notice, over from Sean Brady to fight Kevin Lee. I fucking can't stand Kevin Lee, to be honest. He lost another one. Just looking at his record here, remember he lost the last one to Charles Oliveira. Before that beat Gillespie, but also beat by Dos Anjos and Ally Quinta and Tony Ferguson. So he's on a bit of a skid, to be honest, and considering the pre-fight interviews with Ariel Helwani, he was saying that he'd beat Khabib and he'd beat Islam Makhachev. So if he could, he didn't show it that night. He's not sure the last few nights. So his gas tank looked like he was going after about the middle of the second round. You could tell Kevin Lee was just wanting to take it to the ground, but couldn't do much on the ground, if that makes sense. D-Rod looked very good on the feet, very smooth, clinical, fluid, great striker actually. And his takedown defense held up pretty well for the majority of it. And when he scrambled, he managed to get back to his feet most of the time. So massive win for D-Rod. Really intrigued, keen to see where he goes from here. I think he'll be ranked in the top 15 at welterweight after this fight, and I'd like to see him take on someone just kind of 10 to 15 range. But great, great fight. And I really enjoy watching D-Rod. Next up, you had Ricky Turcios versus Brady Heistand. I mentioned this last week. Ricky Turcios is an interesting dude. He reminds me of a young Diego Sanchez, a bit of a hippie, a bit of a kind of free spirit, very fluid, and throws a variety of strikes from all positions. He was taking on Brady Heistad, who gave as good as he got, to be honest. It was a split decision in the end. I thought it might go to the fourth round, as that's what the Ultimate Finale finals do. They go to a four, as opposed to the judges after three rounds. But both guys are going to get a contract, I'm pretty sure of it. And I think Ricky's one to watch for the future. Interested to see where he goes. Obviously, Brady Heiston's fell to now 5-2, but again, still looks good. Maybe one for the future, so see where that goes. Who do we have up next? We had Brian Battle versus Gilbert Urbina at middleweight, which was again the Ultimate Fighter middleweight finale. Gilbert Urbina came out the races quick. You could tell he kind of blew his load after about just after the first round. Didn't have much left in the tank, but where he was giving out was good. He was mauling Brian Battle for a bit, but he battled adversity. He came back, and he came back really strong. And he climbed to 6-1 via rear naked choke submission in the second round. I think it was just due to the tiredness in Gilbert Urbina. I believe that he's still going to get a contract, and both of these fighters are good. They're pretty well-rounded. So I think they'll both get fights in the UFC going forward, which is good to see. Nice dudes. And that leads us to the main event, Giga Chikadze versus Edson Barbosa. I had to be honest, I thought Edson would take this just based on experience in MMA. He's had, I think, about 20, 30 fights in the UFC, which is compared to Giga's 7. Six before this. I thought Edson would just take it. I just thought he'd be better all round. Didn't really mix it up all so much. And a lot of people mentioned, I heard in breakdowns post-fight, was Edson's game plan wasn't great. He kept trying to throw hooks to the body, which just weren't effective. The leg kicks looked like they were money in the bank. They were paying dividends. But inevitably, Giga was just a bit quicker. Comes from a illustrious career in glory kickboxing, if I remember myself correctly. So unsurprising, but I thought it was just a strange tactic from Edson just to keep it on the floor, where that's where he probably has the advantage. Probably the only place he has the advantage, keep it on the feet, sorry. The only place he has the advantage is on the floor. So it seems strange. I thought it was quite ballsy from Giga to try and submit him via Dar/Anaconda. That would be a quite cool way to finish it, but I think Giga should get somebody probably in the top 5, let's say, with featherweight. So I'd like to see him take on the person who gets defeated in the Volkanovski versus Ortega fight. I think that would make for an interesting bout either way. Don't think he'll get Max Holloway at this point, but you never know. But I don't think he's ready for a title fight. Based off that, Edson Barbosa's not a top 5 guy. I wouldn't say he's top 10. But it's just my opinion. Just the dynamic of Paul Felder and Michael Bisping. I think they bounce off each other really well. And Brendan Fitzgerald, thought they're really, really good on the broadcast. Yeah, good overall card. Kind of flew under the radar, to be honest, out with main event. Kind of ultimate fighter dominated card, but the D-Rod Kevin Lee one was really interesting. Just looking at the bonuses here, performance of the night was Chikadze. We got the 50 G's. Performance of the night also was Mir Sharp, Razak Al-Hassan, and Sabatini, which, just looking at the card, it feels about right, to be honest. Yeah, that feels totally right. I thought D-Rod might get a performance of the night as well. But yeah, good card. And moving on to the PFL, Professional Fighters League. The only one I was really interested in from there was a chap called Brendan Loughnane take on, and I'm going to have to search this to remember the dude he was fighting, to be honest, Movled Kabayev, who is one of Khabib's fighters under the Eagle training banner. Brennan's 21-4, fights out of Manchester. This is the guy that was on the Contender Series, won his fight, and he's a bit of a beast, to be honest. He's been fighting for a very long time. As you can see by his record, he's pretty experienced. He was taking on Khabib's guy, who is 17-0, if I remember correctly. It was a good fight, actually. I quite enjoyed it. Brendan had advantages stand-up, but Kabayev was a beast on the ground. His takedown and control was awesome, as you can imagine from a Khabib fighter. And Brennan Lockham was coming on well in the third round. If he could have kept it standing, I think he had a really good chance. And it's happening on some clean shots. But yeah, that's Lockham out. I think he came in with quite a few injuries. That was part of the problem. But he's not one to make excuses. And I love the way that the PFL have the stats and the betting odds and the strike speed on the screen. I think that's pretty cool. And I'm not sure why the UFC don't do that. I also think they show the judging the live scores, which is pretty cool. It'd be good for fighters to know that. So quite impressed with them. If they had more breadth across the decisions rather than just a few strong fighters, I'd probably watch more of the PFL. And if it was more accessible. In terms of other fights that happened this weekend, you had Tommy Fury, Tyson Fury's brother, Molly May's boyfriend, ex-Love Island star. He was taking on Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor, who is previously fighting out of Bellator. Tommy Fury looked pretty comfortable. He's 6 inches taller, so that made a bit of a difference. He said he was disappointed in himself that he didn't finish the fight, but I think, like, you're in there with another man. If you can control him and beat him up for four rounds. But, yeah, it was only four rounds. Then I think he can't be too hard on himself. I'd like to see him fight Jake Paul going forward. I think he'd be too strong for him, too good. But hey-ho, you don't think that's going to happen. I think Tyron Woodley's going to get a rematch in the short term. Cool, that was just a quick recap and review of the fights from the weekend. I'll put out another podcast later in the week breaking down the card for this weekend, which includes Darren Till, Paddy the Baddy, quite a few of the UK-based stars. So it should be an exciting card. And more importantly, it's on at our time. It's on, I think, about midday, which is really, really good. Okay, thank you for listening.